Mike Odie is president of Teca, a technical content production consulting and software development firm based in Portland, Oregon. Mike, thanks for chatting today about Windows Server 2016.
Sure thing, Joel. Happy to do it.
Windows Server 2016 was released last September, September 2016. Before we dive into a couple of the new features, what does this new generation bring us that we had not seen before?
Well, that is a huge question. There are so many features in Windows Server 2016 that we could take all our time talking about them. But to hit some of the high points, I think improved scalability is big. There's now support for 24 terabytes of memory in a host. That's a big bump in scalability from before, where it was like 4 terabytes. Nano Server is a new feature that's part of Windows Server 2016. It's a headless version of Windows Server that's even smaller than Windows Server Core. Some of the stats say that it has a 93% smaller VHD space, 92% fewer critical bulletins, and it requires 80% fewer reboots. So that could be a big feature for cloud implementations. There's also Storage Spaces Direct. Storage Spaces Direct is basically the evolution of the older Storage Spaces technology that was introduced with Windows Server 2012 R2. But before, with 2012 R2, the old Storage Spaces was limited to a single server. Now, Storage Spaces Direct allows it to span multiple servers, essentially enabling your Windows servers to potentially replace a SAN, where you can create storage pools that span multiple servers, complete with SSD and HDD disk tiering. And one of probably the biggest thing is Hyper-V. Hyper-V has had so many new feature enhancements in it that we could take the whole space on those, too. There's scalability increases, 12 terabytes for Generation 2 VMs. There's something called PowerShell Direct, where you can manage your Hyper-V VMs without having to go through the networking layer and manage them directly from the host. There's nested virtualization, where a VM can be the host for another VM. There's a new shielded VMs and host guardian service out there where you can protect VMs from being started by unauthorized hosts or unauthorized administrators as well, and it will prevent those VMs from being run on host servers that aren't what they call attestation passed. In other words, where the server has to be basically approved by your company. There's support for Linux Secure Boot, something called host resource protection, where you can limit the number of resources that a given VM can use, and also a new production checkpoints feature. So there's a ton there, but apart from that, failover clustering has had some improvements. There's support for rolling upgrades for clusters, where you can basically introduce a Windows Server 2016 node into a 2012 cluster and eventually upgrade that cluster to 2016 one node at a time. There's support for having witnesses in the cloud, so your cluster witnesses don't actually have to be on-premise anymore, so that's something new. There's also storage replica, where you can have replication of your Windows Server storage between different servers, or even to geographically different places via asynchronous replication, so for disaster recovery. The storage QoS, or quality of service, has been expanded to where it used to be on a per VM level with Windows Server 2012 and 2012 R2, and now Microsoft has expanded that to where they've moved that up to the cluster shared volume level, so it can be shared that same quality of service for multiple VMs. And of course, there's now support for containers, and containers are a big new thing in Windows Server 2016. They basically enable you to isolate your applications from that underlying OS. So it helps you to deploy your application. So a lot of new features there, but I think those are some of the highlights.
We could spend hours talking about all of those new features. What I'd like to do today is focus on just a couple. And you mentioned containers. To me, that's one of the more exciting new features, something that's essential these days for application development on any operating platform, not just Windows Server. So before we dive into what's new in Windows Server 2016, for the few people who might still not be familiar with containers, can you briefly describe what they are and why they're so important to application developers?
Oh, yeah. Containers, they're kind of new to the Windows Server world, but they've been around in Linux for quite a while. you could think of them as maybe the next generation of virtualization beyond what virtual machines offer. When at the virtual machine level, when you virtualize there, you're virtualizing an entire machine, right? And that includes the hardware, the operating system, all the applications and all that running their own virtual machine. Well, containers are a way more lightweight version of that, where with a container, you are basically virtualizing at the operating system level. So a container is abstract at the operating system level, which makes them much more lightweight. You don't have to worry about virtualizing all the hardware, virtualizing the entire OS. Instead, each kernel shares part of the OS. And some of the reasons why that is important is because, first, they're way more lightweight than VMs, which means they can be deployed and spun up much faster. They have many of the same benefits. You have complete isolation of processes. So what happens in one container is not going to affect what happens in another container. For instance, if you have two containers that are running, and one of them, say, makes a change to the registry, well, that registry is isolated to that container, and it won't affect the underlying host or what goes on in the other container. If one container crashes, it doesn't affect the other containers. So you still get that benefit of isolation. But containers are also, they're a lot quicker to develop, and you can automate the production of containers or the movement of them from dev to QA to production completely automatically. And you get a lot more fine-grained kind of control over them. If you look at containers, one more thing. Containers, when you containerize an app, really only the app and the components needed to run the app are combined into what is called an image. And containers are then created from those images as you need them. Multiple containers can all share the same image. And that allows them to be started very quickly, and they use very few resources. So those are some of the reasons why containers have become important these days.
The Windows ecosystem offers two container types, Windows Server containers and Hyper-V containers. For developers, what's the difference and what is the specialized intent of each type?
Yeah, that's a great question. Windows Server containers, they're basically the equivalent to a Linux container. They all share the same OS kernel. They're very lightweight. They're very efficient. They can run on bare metal. You don't have to have virtualization or anything to run one of these Windows Server containers. Hyper-V containers, on the other hand, they are more secure. And these are kind of a new construct of Windows Server 2016. No other operating system really allows anything like this. When a Hyper-V container runs, that container basically spins up a specialized lightweight virtual machine for each container. And the purpose of that is to isolate that container from the underlying host operating system. So that way, each virtual machine and each container basically has its own Windows OS kernel. There's a complete separation between the host and that those containers that are running. This is kind of better, it's more secure, and it kind of has benefits for multi-tenant kind of environments where you might be worried about different tenants sharing the same host OS kernel. So in this case, in a multi-tenant kind of world, each of these containers would have their own basic OS kernel, and they wouldn't be sharing it with anybody. It's important to realize, though, that these containers are completely interchangeable. They share the same base image, so the only thing that makes them different is a command line switch that you provide when you actually run the container. So if you're running a container using Docker, you can use this --isolation=Hyper-V switch, and that's what makes it a Hyper-V container. And if you leave that switch off, it runs as a normal Windows Server container. So they share exactly the same image. The only thing that makes them different is a switch that you provide when you actually run the containers.
That certainly makes things simpler for a developer.
Oh, yeah.
So you mentioned the D word, the Docker word, and that's really the elephant in the room when we talk about containers. And Docker, until now, is really about Linux and open source. What's the relationship of Docker containers to Windows Server 2016, and how do they all work together?
That's a great question, because that's really, it can easily be confused as to what the role of Docker is. Docker was the first release back in 2013 on Linux, and with the Windows Server 2016 release and the Windows 10 release, Docker was ported to Windows. And yeah, that Docker does run on Windows 10, just like it does on Windows Server 2016, too, just as a aside. Basically, The Docker engine was ported over to Windows Server 2016, and it is the engine that is used to run Docker containers. And basically, it's used to run all containers. So that it's, there's not like a separation. There's a Windows Server container and a Docker container. That doesn't exist. They are the same thing exactly. It is the Windows, the Docker's engine running on Windows Server that is running those containers. And then Docker also provides a management interface that you can use to manage those containers that are running on Windows Server and Hyper-V. So to kind of sum it up, there's the Windows Server OS running underneath it. There's the Docker engine running on top of that. And then there's the Windows Server and Hyper-V containers that run on top of that Docker engine. So that Docker engine is providing that runtime for those containers. And one of the advantages of Docker with Windows is that it provides you a single set of tools and management APIs that you can use for managing containers both in Linux and in Windows. So that's one of the advantages to the Docker engine. That same management interface can apply to Windows or to Linux.
Is that one of the key benefits that's gained for application developers when opting for Docker containers instead of Windows Server or Hyper-V containers?
Well, to clear things up, there is no difference between Docker containers and Windows Server or Hyper-V containers. They are the same thing. And one of the benefits to that is the fact that you can manage them both using exactly the same commands, exactly the same tool set, and everything. And that includes containers that are running on Windows, and that includes containers that are running on Linux. They both share that same Docker engine. They both share the same Docker management interface. So you do get that commonality in management across both of those platforms. So when you develop a Docker container in Windows, you are developing a Windows Server container. They're the same thing. But I should point out one thing here. We've talked a little bit about Windows Server, and we've talked a little bit about Linux containers. I should point out, one of the things that's important to realize is that these containers are not interchangeable between platforms. Even though they can both be created with Docker and managed with Docker, you can't run a Windows Server container on Linux, and you can't run a Linux container on Windows Server. So just something to be aware of.
That's certainly an important consideration. But given that, what does the support for Docker say about Microsoft's openness as a company today compared with just a few years ago?
Wow. Microsoft has completely changed from what they were just a few years ago. Under their new CEO, Satya, he says Microsoft loves Linux. It's basically true. Microsoft has embraced Linux and open source in a big way, in a way that the old Microsoft never did. They've done things that you would have never really expected, like, for instance, .NET Core is now an open source version of the .NET framework. They have Bash that's running under Windows 10, and that gives developers a shell that they may be familiar with, Linux developers or Mac OS developers. That same shell is now under Windows 10. You would have never expected that from Microsoft a few years ago. On the mobile side, they've acquired Xamarin, which gives them cross-platform mobile development. And they've even moved PowerShell, their management CLI, over to Linux. So it's now open source, and you can use PowerShell to manage both Windows and Linux. So Microsoft has really embraced open source and Linux in a way that it never did before. So they are like a completely different company.
They love application developers.
Yes, they do, and they provide some of the best tools available for sure.
One of the things that Microsoft is doing is working with Docker to create a repository of Windows-based container applications. Do you see that as a benefit for application developers?
Oh, sure. When you have a repository of applications, it saves you all that time needed to create your own images. Docker images are great, and containers are super quick to deploy, but they can take some time to create. It can be much like installing an OS and installing whatever server or applications you run on top of it. That can be a very time-consuming process. And when you're using a repository, like the Docker is, like Docker and Microsoft are working together to create, there's no need to create your own images. They're pre-installed. They have images for ASP.NET, IIS, SQL Server Express, and what's there is basically ready to go, and you can take that image and just start building on it and using it as one of your image layers. So that really does save you a lot of time in the development process.
For developers building containerized applications to run on Windows Server as opposed to building for Linux, what are the best practices that you might recommend to ensure that they have success?
Well, a lot of the best practices would span both different types of operating systems. I would think on the Windows Server side in particular, today there's a mode away from legacy-style monolithic applications that are, you know, gigantic web applications towards something called Mode 2 or microservice style of applications. And so if you're a Windows developer guy and you're looking at containers, you should look for these things with an eye of moving those legacy applications over to a microservice style of applications. That seems to be the wave of the future, and that is, and the reason for that is you get better application deployment, easier updates, and a more robust style of applications to where if a container and a service fails, you just spin up a new one and your whole application doesn't go down. So you build more robust applications with that style of application. So as you develop, think about re-architecting your applications over to this new microservice style of applications.
And
if you're into containers themselves, there's a few tips. One, you know, keep your containers simple. Make sure that your containers have a focused purpose. One of the guiding principles is to have one process per container. Next, when you have your containers, be aware of inheritance, where all the layers of those containers come from, because you may have unexpected dependencies or inadvertent security exposures. So you do need to be aware of all the layers that you're using. Another best practice might be to limit your container interactions. Containers should be very focused, and minimizing the interactions can reduce risks and help simplify your containers. And a couple other general good practices, don't store data in your containers. You use volumes to store containers. Containers are not persistent. So if you store data in them, when that container goes away, that data goes away too, because the data is sandboxed unless you store it in a volume. And another one for developers, it can be very tempting to create images from running containers because you've already got this thing going. But remember, running containers make changes, and if you use them as a basis for your images are not going to be reproducible unless you do exactly the same actions in that container. So best to avoid that kind of thing. So anyway, those are some tips for developing containers.
Are there skills that developers need to pick up that they might not have today?
Well, on the Windows Server side, definitely. And yes, I guess also with the .NET side as well. With Windows Server, since it's a brand new technology, you really need to be aware of the container architecture in general, and good idea to be familiar with Docker and Docker commands, how you build containers, and how you can spin them up, manage them, and also scale them. But also from the development side, there is a Microsoft Service Fabric that can help you develop containerized applications. So .NET developers should probably get familiar with that, and it can help you develop containerized applications and service-oriented applications both on-premise and in the web.
Application development for the Windows Server platform encompasses the entire .NET ecosystem. Do you see the .NET feature set keeping up with rapid advances in cloud and mobile computing? And is the .NET platform still viable for building enterprise-class applications?
Yeah, I do believe it is. Certainly, .NET is not your only option when it comes to developing applications. And that's true in the container and microservices world as well. But .NET is an enterprise-class development platform, and it has made a number of changes in the recent past to allow it to keep up with where application development is going. There's the new .NET Core, which is a totally open-source version of the .NET framework, allowing your .NET applications to run on multiple platforms, including Windows and Linux. And then there's the new microservices foundation that Microsoft has added into the .NET framework. This can help you develop those container applications, can provide JSON support for communications, and also helps you use that Microsoft Service Fabric that I talked about before. And, of course, using .NET and Xamarin, you can build native cross-platform mobile applications for Android, for iOS, And you can definitely, that's where mobile developers want to go. So yeah, I think the .NET feature set, it has kept up with these advances, and it is certainly viable for building enterprise class applications.
And you're also seeing languages keep up. Microsoft talks quite a bit about TypeScript, for example.
Yes, yeah, languages have definitely kept up. Microsoft has developed TypeScript, and of course, C# is their preferred language for developing most of these applications. And C# has continued to evolve since they released it years ago.
One other feature that you mentioned earlier that is creating a lot of interest is NanoServer. It's a stripped-down, headless install that, as you said, is reported to be more than 90% smaller than a full Windows Server install. What does that mean when running cloud server workloads and improved security through having a much smaller attack surface?
Oh, yeah. Those are the advantages of NanoServer, all right. NanoServer offers improved density because you can run a lot more NanoServers than you can full-size Windows servers. So that's particularly important if you're trying to develop cloud applications. And the NanoServer's reduced size definitely gives it a much smaller attack surface. So it is a far more secure kind of operating system. I think one of the things that I recall Microsoft doing, they did a study where they were, or some research where they were running NanoServer as a virtualization host, and they found that a 1 terabyte NanoServer with 1 terabyte of RAM was capable of running 1,000 NanoServer VMs on it. So that gives you an idea of the kind of density that you can get out of NanoServer and some of its advantages. And of course, with no GUI, no browser, there's a lot less to attack, so it is more secure. One of the things, though, it is going to be different to manage since there's no local login, there's no UI. You have to manage NanoServer completely remotely. And that's going to probably cause a learning hurdle and some slow adoption for a lot of companies because sometimes that's difficult to get into, and that's one of the things why Windows Server Core isn't running everywhere. It's a little bit more difficult to manage, so that requirement on remote management will probably provide at least an initial hurdle into running NanoServer.
But once you get past that hurdle, there's some pretty impressive efficiencies to be gained.
Oh, yes, definitely. Like I said, the densities and security benefits that you can get through NanoServer are definitely significant, and that is definitely the way that development, especially in the cloud, is headed.
So I'd like to wrap up our podcast today and ask you about your takeaway key message for developers working with Windows Server 2016 and containers.
Well, I guess first it's important to realize, especially on the Windows side, that these containers, they are very lightweight, they have isolation in processes and things, but containers are not cross-platform. You know, that I get a lot of that thinking, people coming to me and asking, well, can I then take my Linux containers and run them on Windows? And you can't do that. That is one of the big gotchas right now. Maybe at some point you'll be able to do this by taking advantage of Hyper-V style containers, but at this point you can't really do that. And the reason is because, remember, with a container, they're lightweight because they share portions of the host, OS, and kernel. And so each of those containers share portions of that host, OS, and kernel. So with Windows, it's a Windows OS and kernel. So naturally, a Linux application is not going to be able to run on a Windows OS kernel and its APIs. Likewise, a Windows container can't run on a Linux host because of those same requirements. So containers, I think that they're definitely something to pay attention to. They're going to be great for stateless web front ends, and they are going to allow definitely a new generation of application development to come along. And they're going to also, they're fantastic for dev and test purposes because you can spin containers up so rapidly, and compared to a VM where it might take, if you're going to create a new VM, say for test purposes, you'd have to install a VM. Even if you're running from a template, it's going to take quite a while to get that running. And with a container, that can happen in seconds. So you get quite an improvement of efficiencies there. So between that and the improvements of Hyper-V in Windows Server 2016, there's been a big evolution this past year that a lot for developers and IT people to keep up with.
That's job security.
As the best kind.
We've been talking with Michael Oddi, president of the consulting and software development firm Tekka, about the use of containers for application development with Windows Server 2016. Mike, thanks so much for a really interesting discussion.
Thank you, Joel. It's been great.